Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis. Off for another day of broadcasting.
Boy, Virginia is the one state making Illinois look pretty darn good right now. The guys here, you know, they're like, yeah. Okay. Look over there.
All right. So
we're not them.
I just want, okay. So let's just go through this for a second. So you got the governor. And they're Democrats, but this is the South. You know, you never, when they say Democrats in the South, you're never quite sure what you're going to get. Hell, you're not quite sure what you're going to get in Chicago either, except an indictment and a wire. But you got a governor in the South. All right, so he already
Northam.
He's like, I'm really sorry that I appeared in blackface in that picture in the yearbook. Wait a second, that wasn't me. That's not me. Neither of those guys are me. The blackface or the Klan guy. I don't think.
When you're trying to differentiate that you're maybe the blackface guy and not the KKK guy next to you, but no, maybe you're not either one.
Right.
And then you explain how you use shoe polish on your face, but not a lot because it's hard to wash off.
Right. But once when you were doing Michael Jackson, you remember
when
that
you were Michael Jackson.
I don't remember this picture, but I remember doing that. Then you got the lieutenant governor, who's African-American,
mm-hmm.
and he's got a problem because he's got a woman who accused him of being physically violent with her.
Forcing her to perform a sex act on him at the Democratic convention.
So you got that. Now he's denying that. Right, you get very animated.
She came out and if you read her post, she's now a professor in California, and she details what happened. And even though the Washington Post back in the day, you know, a number of years ago when they first heard about this, couldn't corroborate her report, that doesn't mean that what Justin Fairfax said, that it was not true and that she had made it up and all these other things. They just said they couldn't corroborate it, so they couldn't go with the story. She now recounts the whole thing in vivid detail.
Okay, so that's bad.
You got that one.
Yeah, you got that. Yeah,
he would be the guy that would take over for Northam. But right. Then he's got that going on.
Okay, so he's got that. Then the fight that I think that now, and then.
You're going down the line of succession here.
Yeah,
too.
I am. So then you've got the Attorney General of the state of Virginia. The Attorney General of the state of Virginia has to step up and say, "Oh, hey, by the way, I too.
I might have a little problem.
I too appeared in blackface once. Now. I gotta say, it was a kind of a ridiculous thing. We were gonna be rap artists. It was like college, and a bunch of us we got blackface, we got wigs, we got some things. We just started doing some deals,
uh-huh.
And the next thing it was bad. I shouldn't have done it.
No, you shouldn't.
Dumb, and uh-huh. I was young,
right? 19.
And I was didn't think, and I didn't ever think about the consequences of like one day being the Attorney General of the state of Virginia. So I didn't think this was ever gonna come back. So. Just saying,
uh-huh.
Before anybody has
besides
a
I'm the guy
or can say they uh-huh. saw me doing it, I'd like to tell you before anybody else does, I'm the dude who played LL Cool J.
Okay, and then if all those three don't work out, the next in line is a Republican. The Democrats would actually cede the governor's job to the Republican Party because the House Speaker would be next in line, unless, of course, he has something that he needs to go ahead and let us know about.
Let us know. Although I've seen the House Speaker already talk about this, and I like his tone. His tone is, I'm keeping my powder dry. I'm going to stay up. Let these guys all kind of, you know, if someone's like, you know, destroying themselves, your enemy's destroying himself, don't get in his way. Right?
Yeah, right.
Is the way that he's looking at this. So we'll just have to, we'll just have to see.
How can you have that many?
Blackface. Am I missing something?
No, you're not.
Was I supposed to be in blackface
as a
white kid?
Were you supposed to know a whole bunch of people who were?
Right. I never saw that.
I didn't see it either. I was just discussing that with our producer.
I mean, it's like, I know that it's been done. I mean, I know L. Jolson made a movie about it. But I don't know. But that was in the 1920s. So I don't really. These guys are all like my age,
mm-hmm.
right? This is all. Mm-hmm. These are all guys who went to college or grad school in the 80s.
Yeah. Well, the lieutenant governor is 39, but the others, you're right about your age, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I get it. That I'm like, all right. So I kind of understand the era, and then they go, well, back then it was okay. No, it wasn't. I can say as a witness to the 1980s, there were a lot of stupid fashions in the 1980s. I am not going to lie. The unconstructed blazer.
Right. I had the big frizzy hair thing going on, the perm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The headband for no apparent reason.
Yeah.
They just wore a headband to wear a headband.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't seem to make a lot of sense.
No.
The t-shirt, the ripped
pants.
Up t-shirts, right, parachute pants. The ripped up t-shirt that says Frankie Say. And I'm like, who's Frankie? And why is he? Why do I care what he said?
Acid wash. There were a lot of mistakes.
Right. Yes, a lot.
A lot. But they weren't mocking other ethnicities or races.
When I went to the Park West video dance party in 1984.
Throwback. Mm-hmm.
I don't remember anybody in blackface.
Well, there are those who are saying that, do you blame somebody? And this is a legitimate conversation because it came up during the Kavanaugh hearings. And but he wasn't in blackface, of course. But do you blame something for everything they did when they were 19, when they were 18? I mean, 15 in his case. How far back do you go and say everything you did then makes you unable to be in a public, high-profile job today? And I think that's a real question. I think if these were Republicans, Democrats would be calling for their heads.
Sure.
Absolutely. That would not be tolerated. It would be just yet another example of how racist the Republicans are. But it is a real conversation because, especially millennials should be concerned about this. Everything they do is recorded. So in the future, you'll have to say, does everything you ever posted, does that count against you if you want a life in public service?
Well, in politics, it's a zero-sum game, right? It only in politics, in American life, is it really, or criminal justice, is it really this? I win, you lose. And so if you want to be in a game like that, then you better make sure that you do everything right along the way, or as much right along the way as you want. Now, the exception to that rule is Donald John Trump.
You do whatever you want.
He did whatever he wanted. He said whatever he wanted. He dodged the draft. There was no consequences. Women, including paying off porn stars,
multiple affairs,
right before he got elected. Mm-hmm. I mean, and everything. There's nothing in this. Make stuff up. It has no political consequence to him. He does live outside the true laws of political gravity. It's true. It's true.
And part of that maybe is because you sort of knew who he was before he got. It wasn't like he hid all this from you.
Right.
I mean, he hid the porn star thing. But I don't think any of us were that surprised there were women like that in his past.
Right. So it just is what it is. And we got, he is Donald Trump, we get it. But these guys who were like, and the funny thing is that both the Attorney General of the state of Virginia and the governor of the state of Virginia are big civil rights guys.
Exactly.
Big civil rights Democrats who just happen to have been in blackface at some point in their past. And that's true. It is true. Would you, like, I don't want to be held accountable for what I did when I was 17 years old or whatever. I mean, I didn't do that, but I'm sure I did stupid things.
Right.
Right.
We all did.
I don't, in some ways, I do not wish to be held accountable for what I did when I was 50. So there are things that I'm trying, I still have things I'm trying to figure out.
The post I think you'll appreciate the most today. Let's put all these Virginia blackface politicians in a room with Liam Neeson and let it sort itself out.
Let me tell you something. I just want to make sure before I take my cush and I beat you with it an inch of your life. Is that shoe polish or tanner?
Oh, gee. it's unbelievable what's going on.
You go and you tell Liam, hey, mm-hmm. the guys who assaulted your friend are in that room.
Yeah.
Where are they? I'm still not over it.
All right. Ben Bradley is standing by. WGN-TV Newsroom doesn't want to follow this, and
no.
I don't blame him. Kim Gordon tells us what's happening in WGN Radio Newsroom at the bottom of the hour.
Work's underway in Springfield to raise the state's minimum wage.
Ben Bradley joins us from the WGN-TV Newsroom.
Yes.
Very busy day in local news. Very busy day.
Yes, a lot going on. It's a lot going on around the world in our fair little planet.
Yes, let's just focus on our own little world. That way we can all maintain a level of sanity. You know, we've been reporting this story over the last couple of days about Alderman Joe Moreno and...
Proco Joe.
Mm-hmm. This dust up over him reporting his car stolen a month ago. And lo and behold, a girlfriend or ex-girlfriend, depending on the hour-by-hour status of their relationship, turns up driving it. Lots of questions. Now police investigating him for possibly filing a false police report. Prosecutors have reportedly dropped charges against her. And now we find out that Alderman Moreno is scheduled to host a fundraiser for Chicago mayoral candidate Susana Mendoza.
No!
Oh, gee.
No!
So in the latest let's scurry from all things moment in this mayoral race, our political reporter Tamon Bradley says Susana Mendoza now says, nope, she's not going to be there at this fundraiser in which she was the honored guest because, yes, she's got business to attend to in Springfield.
Have you ever... Although I do like when people are asking, hey, you know, who's running the controller's office while you're up doing this? Mm-hmm. No, don't worry about it. We got phones. God, I can do this.
And can you see that phone call with Illinois Finances? No, no, no. Buy low, sell high.
Right. I mean, we got phones. You know, we got an office up here. I can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Don't worry. The finances are great.
That's exactly what she said.
Just keep throwing it a dart at the board to decide which bills we pay.
There's so many. I don't even know where to begin.
I know.
I don't even know where to begin on this. But it's like all she does is have to run away from... she's the one that has played ping pong more than anybody here.
I think Tony Preckwinkle has had to do some ping pong play in this race as well.
That's
for some of the same reasons and entanglements.
Same people. Same people.
And isn't that the interesting thing, right? Like, how do you become a quote-unquote top-tier Democrat in this city without having those entanglements?
It's a great question. And I think, it's the question. I think those entanglements are important to know as voters. But then, how important are they? Can they truly distance themselves from that part of Chicago after taking so much support from them over the years? Mm-hmm.
Is Susana Mendoza at your thing tonight? I'm assuming she is,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, and I think she and Tony Preckwinkle were at an editorial board discussion yesterday, and they got into it over this very issue, because I think Susana was trying to point a finger at Tony for some of the ethics issues of her connectivity in the world of politics, and she fired back and said, you got married at Burke's house, and you're not the one to be dishing out.
Don't bring up who got married where.
Yeah, that's what came up.
It is curious.
And so it's very clear that the two of them, as front runners in this race, they know that they need to look at each other.
Okay, let me ask you a question here. Could we try this tonight at your event? Mm-hmm. I don't want to ruin your event, but I would like to try this just to see. I want to get some guys dressed up in suits with earpieces to run in the room in FBI vests and run in the room and scream, FBI, don't move, and see who runs away.
Yes, yes. This is a raid.
Oh.
Whoever runs for the door, don't vote for them.
And we'll just videotape it and then show it later.
Right. People climbing over their dais, like trying to run, like all those mobs. It's always the first scene in a mob movie, right, where everybody's running through a field trying to get away from the FBI. I would love to see that.
Why is Joey under the table?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Come out. We're just kidding.
And Anna, will you be, as they enter, is there some sort of magnetometer to see who's wearing a wire or no?
So many questions. I don't think we'll get to. We actually are going to address more of the issues and try to nail people down more on specifics.
And that is important, right? Because mm-hmm. as important as the entanglements from your past are, there are plenty of issues facing this city that also need to be discussed. And as important as it is to talk about, Ed Burke and Danny Solis and the entanglements, it's going to take a lot more than being unentangled, to turn this city around.
These are real problems, you're right, from budget to crime to, mm-hmm. Just moving our city forward and the vision that we'll have. It's mm-hmm. it's important stuff. So it's 7 o'clock tonight.
I dare you to say at the open, ladies and gentlemen who wish to be the mayor of the city of Chicago, just reminding you, this entire room is wired. To start with that.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Just a little something to think about.
I'm sorry. Too soon? Too soon?
Yeah, I don't think so.
We're not going to be doing that.
Yeah.
FBI, don't move!
What a great idea.
All right. Thank you, Ben.
Coming up at 4, we are down in Wilmington with two reporters covering 40 to 50 homes potentially evacuated because of flooding. And Tom Negevin with Roe's worst fear, the thing that keeps him off public transit.
Thunder ice?
Nope.
Bedbugs?
Talks to a mom who gave birth on a CTA bus.
God bless her.
Now, is she going to name her child Belmont? Or just a number?
And can you imagine that voice just with the recording? The bus is standing. Thank you for riding the CTA. Childbirth ahead.
Is the baby okay? Can we know that part?
Of course. We wouldn't do the story
good.
If it had
It's a happy story.
Yeah.
It's a happy story. Although I'm never sitting down on a bus again. All right. Thank you very much, yeah. Ben. Appreciate it. Let's now check with Kim Gordon what's coming up. We already actually checked with her what's coming up. We'll find out what's happening in the WGN newsroom coming your way in 2 minutes. Tom Skilling joins us, brought to us by PermaSeal Basement Systems. And Tom joins us a little earlier on Wednesdays because...
Hump Day.
Mike.
I wondered why this was happening, so I'm anxious to hear.
Well, it's because Lester Holt joins us at 4 o'clock. And we only get Lester Holt once a week at 4 o'clock because he's got to get ready
for
to do the NBC Nightly News.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we move you, but you're more important than he is.
Oh.
You are.
No, you
nonsense.
Really are. No, you really are. So it's like...
But it's
I'm
always flattering to be here, Ro.
Yes,
you know?
I know, but I have thoughts on this. All right. Let's talk about this ice dam situation down on the Kankakee River because you had described this as a potential problem last week when we were having this incredible deep freeze and then the precipitation and then this quick thaw. Explain what happens in an ice dam.
Well, the ice cover breaks up and then you get these humongous chunks to flow down the river. And they'll encounter a narrower spot in the river or some reason to dam up. So you got this pile of ice through back behind which this wall of water, or this lake develops. And when it breaks, this wall of water is unleashed to go down the riverbed. But on the other hand, behind it, where the water levels are building behind these dams, you get flooding that way too. I have been sent some incredible pictures. People show their backyards that abut these rivers. And they've got these humongous chunks of ice sitting there. So it's a real issue. It can take out decks. It can take out, if you have structures near the river, that's all to the bad. And so it's a real issue. And that extraordinary record-level thaw that we had didn't help any because it accommodated the breakup and facilitated it. And so that's not good.
Wow.
You know what's interesting? They set records yesterday on the East Coast. I mean, there were 60s, and not just low 60s, mid-60s in many areas. And that was the area that was in the grip of Arctic air only last week. And the subject of tweets saying, wouldn't it be nice to see some global warming? Well, the warmth has returned there, and the cold air is backed up into the Dakotas, and Montana is about ready to send a surge this way tomorrow night, even late in the day tomorrow, and more so on Friday and Saturday.
I am no longer going to accept numbskulls and knuckleheads who are like, where's the global warming? They're just trolling. First of all, they don't understand that however you want to define this is like the semantics argument about the wall. However you wish to define this, there is a massive global climate change happening.
Yeah.
And it is really clear. You could debate all you want whether it's man-made or this is a cycle or whatever it is.
Well,
there's
absolutely no debate on that. This is established.
I understand.
Okay, absolutely.
I understand. Yeah. I'm not even making that argument.
Yes, I know you have.
I'm trying to discuss knuckleheads.
Right.
And the knuckleheads who continue to to just want to troll the issue because they're really interested in either protecting their investments or their own companies or their own industry because they see their industry is going to be blamed for, or maybe their investments are going to be blamed for this. And then the useful idiots who just go along with them that don't have the investment, but they just don't like anybody telling anybody else what to do.
Well, Ro, I think it's become a political issue, and
right.
It really is a scientific issue. Every major scientific organization is on board with this. So is the Pentagon, that sees among the threats of rising sea levels to our bases, which is ongoing, but also huge population movements and all. Part of this migration out of Central America, there's a climate change component to that. Central America is tied up in a terrible drought. They've had crop failures down there. The Mayan Empire fell because of droughts in that region, so it's not without precedent that there are droughts, but this is a disrupting food supplies down there,
right,
and probably contributing to some of the other social
issues. Will have to, there will be short-term things that we have to do, and maybe the, you know, the long-term, like, people can debate, and the politics will always be there. As long as there is as long as there's politics and there's
a
money in politics
interface, yeah,
yes, there's going to be the fight about whether coal or any of those other industries or heavy industry is in any way contributing to this, and they're going to say no, it's not, because then is it jobs versus climate, and what do we actually care about that? We do have to deal with the ramifications of it, though, and do have to set aside money to deal with the ramifications.
You know what else, Roe? A friend of mine is a researcher at Argonne, Doug Sisterson, and Seth Darling, another researcher down there. They prefer to call climate change a climate disruption, and that may be a good way and a more comprehensible way for people to understand it, because what it does is it produces all kinds of strange anomalies in the weather all over the place, and they can run on both ends of the spectrum. But one thing we can say, when you do get cold air, it's covering less area and it's occurring less frequently, and the number of record highs outstrip the number of record lows by a margin of at least 2 to 1. So the evidence is there.
Well, but also see a picture of the glacier down in the Antarctic.
Yes.
And by the way, again, for the knuckleheads, the Antarctic is the one in the south.
Right.
Right. You go down there.
And by the way, it is melting. There's been information that's come out that's clouded the issue in the minds of some of these, and these blogs pick up on it, that the fact
blogs written by knuckleheads.
Yeah.
Yes. Go ahead.
And we're losing about,
I think we need to identify the knuckleheads. Yeah.
Yeah. And what you're referring to is that big cavern, the size, the height of the World Trade Center down there.
And times the size of Manhattan,
yes,
Island.
Yes, and it's in the Thwaites Glacier, which is one of the glaciers on the west end of Antarctica that is decoupled from indications from the land on which it sits, which means it's just a matter of time before the whole thing cascades into the ocean. And the sea level change that will occur with that is going to be quite extraordinary.
Yeah.
But it may take place in decades, it may take place in a century. The bottom line is, the sea levels aren't going to come up. Somebody wrote me about that and said, how do you know it wasn't there all along? Well, what we do know, we don't. But what we do know is that the ice mass is lost, and we can measure that, is shrinking. And do you know that we put 14,000 tons of glacial meltwater into the oceans of this planet every second from melting glaciers in our Arctic regions? 14,000. The rate at which this was occurring 20 years ago was only 5,000 tons per second. So, the rate at which it's melting is increasing exponentially. Mm-hmm. So there are issues involved here, and I don't mean to belabor this, but it's... the science is clear. And somebody else wrote and said, well, what happened in the last ice age? It ended. What, did dinosaurs start flatulating or something like that? It shows this, those large-scale climate trends or ice ages were driven by astronomical changes known as Milankovitch cycles. That's a change on our orbit around the sun and also the wobble of the Earth on its axis. And the periodicity or the cyclicality of that is tens of thousands of years. What's occurring now is occurring 10 times faster than anything that's been observed on the planet before. So that's one of the ways, and it's also being atmospheric. It's been chemically driven by a change in the atmospheric chemistry with the addition of all these greenhouse gases. We've put more carbon in the air faster than has ever happened before, and we have CO2 levels now that are at levels that have never been observed in 3 to 5 million years. And the way they know that is they can go back into glacial bubbles and pull them out and date them and look at the makeup of the air in those the previous atmosphere. So we can go back millions of years. And they can also use a proxy record like that, glaciers, ocean and lake bottom sediments, tree rings, all kinds of things, to establish what the temperatures were like before we had instruments taking them. So,
okay, got that, knuckleheads? Did you hear what he just said? Got it? All right.
So, anyway,
so that's all.
We didn't mean, to get into a big discussion about
this. I'm just telling you I'm just tired of knuckleheads who know nothing telling me things,
right,
because they feel them. There are actually people who study this, who actually do the science, who have beakers and Bunsen burners, and they know how to make things happen.
Slide rules in their pockets.
Right,
right.
They understand
protectors.
Things. Right.
Right. Thick glasses,
yeah,
too.
I know. We've got some really bright people looking at this subject.
Right, those are the people that the knuckleheads all stuffed in lockers. in eighth grade.
Yeah.
And this is, and now those people are just telling you, and the knuckleheads just still don't like them, but it's
and
okay.
By the way, the fact it gets cold and snows in the winter doesn't mean the planet's not warming.
Well, that's when all the trolls came out, because you felt like we had this record-breaking cold, and it says so much for global warming, and you've explained to us many times that these extreme storms and extreme conditions are a result of.
Yeah, and Anna, if you look at the amount of cold air on the planet, the amount is shrinking, and the frequency with which it comes into an area is far less frequent. So the nature of the... I mean, when did we get a cold air mass like last week and have it go away with a 70-degree temperature increase in 3 days? Or
well,
five
the fact,
days?
The fact that the coldest air on the planet, which is generally reserved for the Arctic Circle...
Yes.
...wobbled down onto the... Not just Canada... But wobbled down into the lower 48.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty big deal.
But you know what's amazing, Ro, is even though it did that, it didn't make it all the way down really in a meaningful way to the Gulf Coast. Used to be when we got these big cold outbreaks in the 70s, for instance, these cold air masses made it all the way down to Florida. Heck, they had flurries in rare occasions in Miami. This one didn't do that. So, you know, there's been some cool air down there, but it's not been as cold as it has
just
been in
the past. Just saying. I'm just tired of people being knuckleheads. That's all I'm doing. All right. Now, speaking of that.
Yes.
We've gotten through the little ice storm issue. We're going to have another one tonight, right?
No, right. West and north, which is where last night set up. And it's going to be the same thing again. You go out by DeKalb and Rockford and our northwest suburbs, Belvedere, areas like that, McHenry, Boone, Winnebago, Lee, Ogle, DeKalb counties. All those areas under a weather advisory, and there could be a tenth of an inch to a quarter inch of ice building. Much has happened last night. And here in Chicago, we'll have some rain or drizzle building to rain. Then it'll rain steadily through the morning. And we're going to be darn close to the freeze line here in Chicago. It's just going to hang there. And then tomorrow, there'll be an attempt of warm air to get up into our southern suburbs and may boost the temperature here to the upper 30s. But if you're down by Kankakee or Rensselaer area south, you might see some 50s briefly before the lobe of this Arctic air hits. This won't be like last week's, but it'll be darn cold, down to about 5 above tomorrow night and up to only about 16 on Friday with wind chills down in the 0 to 10 below range.
And then in the 20s on Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday 26, Sunday 30, 32 Monday, 34 Tuesday, 30 Wednesday. A snow system will come through Sunday, and there's a more substantial-looking system that comes through on Tuesday. So the fact that coldest air has taken up residence in the Dakotas and Montana sets up a jet stream pattern.
Like a Valentine's Day snow?
Oh,
I hadn't thought about that.
Ooh.
Yeah. What is Valentine's Day?
Valentine's Day is the 14th.
Gotcha.
Thanks, Ro.
You're welcome.
So that's a week
still
from...
Still is? Are you sure? Are we sure about that?
Yes.
That's a week from Thursday.
Right? It's a Thursday this year.
Is it going to snow on that or snow on that?
You know what? We have some guidance going out that far, but we call that the fantasy range when you're looking at a specific system. I can tell you the trend is, let's see, temperatures should be about 6 degrees below normal as an average, but when you get down to the nitty-gritty of a storm system where it's 100.
Because we had a really bad one. What was it back in 1989? Oh, I think it was
1990.
The Valentine's Day storm. Yep. I'll never forget it. Walter Jacobson almost killed me. There was a thing that happened. I'll tell that story on Valentine's Day. Maybe we could tell it together, like you'll remember.
Remember that? And we had expected the snow to change to rain, and there was this big 1055 millibar high up over James Bay and Hudson Bay that kept the northeast winds blowing and importing cold, dry air at the surface. So we never moved that rain snow line up.
Exactly.
So
right.
It just started snowing, and it didn't quit. And then our streets and sand folks and other snow were forced to go out in the middle of rush hour to try and clear this stuff off. You know, it was like Mission Impossible. Possible. And so you had, what, 5-hour commute times from downtown?
Oh, it was crazy. Oh, it was crazy.
It was nuts.
It really was. All right, Tom, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ro, Tom.
Good to talk to you. See you, Anna.
All right, thank you, sir.
You bet.
All right. Let's now check in with Kim, find out what's going on in the newsroom at the top of the hour.
Ro, Milwaukee's mourning the death of another police officer.
It's that time again. Lester Holt joins us. Lester, before we jump in, let me just remind people that I have got Hawks tickets as they take on the New Jersey Devils next Thursday, February 14th. That's Valentine's Day. That'd be a nice Valentine's Day. Ooh, the Little Devils, the Hawks versus the Little Devils, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons, find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com or listen for your chance to win tickets all regular season long. That's coming up in about half an hour right here on this very radio program. All right, now, Lester Holt joins us. Lester, nothing to see here, nothing going on. Wow, another crazy day in national news.
Yeah, where do you want to start? Just pick one.
All right, well,
Virginia, how about that?
Yeah, let's start with Virginia. Now, Lester, you and I are from the same era. I don't recall. I like when these guys say, well, back in the 80s, you know, everybody was doing blackface. I mean, God, that's what you did. You just did that.
Yeah.
I don't recall that being okay then either.
I think we just have to put out there that probably doing blackface is not a good idea under any circumstances. And what you're referring to, folks don't know, is the Attorney General now in Virginia has come forward to say that he too, as a teenager, had performed in blackface. He put out a statement. So that's now three prominent Democratic politicians in Virginia who are suffering from scandal. Of course, the governor is still hanging on, not deciding whether to heed the calls to resign. And then you've got the lieutenant governor who faces a different kind of issue, an accusation of sexual assault. His accuser put out a statement today, and he continues to vehemently deny. But it's fair to say that this is royal Virginia politics and left that state really in a sense of chaos.
I got to go back to blackface. I just got to go back. The attorney general, it is a priceless press conference today, or a statement, I should say, where the attorney general announces that, yes, before anybody else brings it up, I want to bring up that back in the 1980s, or it was the 90s. His was in the 90s, I think.
He was in college, yeah. I think it was.
And he's 40, right? Is that right? Or is he older?
No, lieutenant governor is 39.
Oh, 39,
the one
okay.
with the sexual right. assault charge.
So this guy, maybe it is the 1980s. Allegation. And he talks about, I went and I performed as a rap artist. So yes, I darkened my skin. That's the new term for blackface. I darkened my skin and I put on a wig. And before anybody else tells you, I just want to tell you I did it. And I was young and dumb and stupid and I shouldn't have done it. And I wish I hadn't done it. Thank you. Goodbye. I would like to be your next governor just in case these other two don't make it. Now, what's interesting is you got the top three Virginia politicians that would be in succession. You got the governor and then in succession, the lieutenant governor and then the attorney general.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next is the speaker of the house in Virginia who is a Republican.
The
state house flips if these three can't sustain their careers politically.
As they say, you can't make this stuff up. This storyline continues. I think we were all, you know, flabbergasted when we saw the AG come forward with his own story today.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, you know, the governor is by many accounts hanging by a thread here. I mean, there have been so many calls for his resignation. But on the other hand, he is resisting, and fellow Democrats and Republicans have acknowledged that impeachment is a pretty high bar. So it's hard to know whether there will be an opening.
Whether he's going to give up the seat and what the pressure will be even amongst the Democratic Party if you are actually going to be handing it over to a Republican as a result of all this conflict. He is still saying, Lester, he's still saying that photo of the man in blackface next to the KKK hooded other man, that one is not him now. Initially he said yes it was, then he said no, it's not.
Yeah, last Friday the initial statement was, I'm one of those people. It never indicated which one, but that he was one of those people. And the next day he determined that he wasn't, which made you wonder, you know, if you had never done something like that would have been an easy call. Say, nope, not me.
Yeah.
That in itself was very bizarre, the change over day two. And then he said he needed more time on this issue of whether he should step down or not. But, imagine three, prominent leaders in Virginia are facing some serious controversy tonight.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah, pretty stupid. Okay, now let's move along to Elizabeth Warren. Can we just talk about her for a second? She was confronted today. The Washington Post has a story that she actually put down on an application for, it was in Texas, right, for the bar in Texas?
Yes,
yeah, it was, 1986, the Texas bar. And in her own handwriting, she identified herself as American Indian.
Under the race, and there was a line, you had to fill in what you were, American Indian is what she wrote. Signed it herself and wrote her street address and all the other necessary information. University of Houston, she attended at that time, Rutgers Law School, but it was for the State Bar of Texas.
Right. Now, one must wonder a few things here. That she was asked the question over and over and over again today in a media scrum, well, are there any other applications out there? Because she explains away the application then. It's a family story. She truly believed in her heart, and her brothers believed in their hearts that she's drawing them into it, that this is the story that we were actually Native Americans. That was it. And then she had to learn that there's a difference between Native American identity and tribal identity. And the only way you can actually use that on an application is if you are recognized by a tribe as being a member of that tribe. And that was explained to her very nicely by a tribal leader that's how that goes. It was a mistake. I was wrong. But then they kept asking her, but is there anything else? And she wouldn't answer that question. And you just wonder, she was set to announce her run for president on Saturday. What is the NBC reporting about that?
Yeah, it's problematic for her. I mean, the timing, although it's not like, it's not like she didn't know that this was going to be, and it had been an issue. Obviously, President Trump had made hay about this for years now, this Pocahontas shot that he takes on a regular basis. But you're right, she says, 30 years ago, I'm not a tribal citizen, tribes and only tribes determine citizenship. But very problematic. I mean, she was essentially the first one to enter this this race for president, and this storyline now goes back up to the top.
Yeah. Now the GOP in Texas has filed a complaint with the Bar of Texas trying to revoke her, her membership because of good character and other issues, misrepresentations or making false claims. We'll see where that goes.
Yeah. But to Rose's point, Saturday was to be the official announcement of the campaign. Yeah. So we'll see where that goes.
Yes. We wonder how that's going to go because it just doesn't seem like this is a good idea for her anymore. And there are a lot of people jumping into this into the scrum to begin with. And I know she's one that had been talking about it forever and ever and ever. But, I don't know how you sustain that because even it just kind of goes against the core values of being an honest politician. And I think, isn't that the sort of the way that Democrats are going to try to position themselves here?
Well, the big issue is, what stomach will Democrats have for putting forward, nominating a candidate who is going to be so vulnerable to President Trump? He's already shown that this is a topic he loves to engage on and talk about her and her claims. And, will Democrats want to put up that kind of candidate who's going to face that kind of scrutiny? That's the question.
The president, let's talk about the State of the Union last night, had a pretty good night by even some of his most the toughest critics have said that, it was a pretty good performance by him. Others, there were some Republicans who were upset that he wasn't pugilistic enough. He was trying to come across the aisle, but they kind of had it both ways, did they not?
They did. I mean, I've heard some talk that this felt like it was written by committee. Each passage had the signature of people within his administrations who had particular, interests in certain areas. It's hard to know. I mean, these things have, he's president. We know where he stands on these issues. He made it clear on a lot of these. There were some humorous moments, certainly, where he started getting the applause of the Democratic women in places that he didn't think he'd get applause for, so that made for some cutting the tension. And then the happy birthday to the Holocaust survivor was another moment that lifted the mood. But listen, this was not, I think most people agree, this was not the kumbaya olive branch moment that the White House had sold it would be.
Yeah.
This president is dug in. He spent 15 minutes of that speech on the issue of immigration and even brought up some new issues related to that. At one point, suggesting that this is part of the cultural divide, that, political America sees this issue differently than the rest of America. And that was clearly a dig toward opening up the cultural divide. And then I think the other thing that stood out for a lot of people was this notion that you shouldn't be investigating me, that it potentially could hold back the economy and the progress of the country. I think that one, and that one even got, I think he was thinking that would be a big applause line. It wasn't, didn't quite land, perhaps, the way he had hoped.
Yeah, well, he did like the rhyme thing. You know, that's, yeah, politicians, there's a lot of rhyming in politics, right?
Sure.
You try to do it. So he tried to do a whole rhyme about investigations. And then you're like, wait a second. You're asking us to stop investigating you. It's not like this isn't a selfless act on your part. You're totally self-interested in it. And
yeah, it was a bit of a Nixon moment there.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And because there is actually in today, people dug up the old film of Nixon saying exactly that about stopping these investigations, and we got to get these things over with. And this was a couple of months before the big Megilla dropped on him, Nixon. And I find this whole moment curious and unsettling all at the same time, Lester.
Yeah, a line that didn't get as much attention as I thought, and one that I had to double take when I heard it, was that if not for him, I hope I get the quote right, if not for him, we would likely be at war with North Korea.
Yeah.
And he said, in my opinion, but it gives you a little idea of where his thinking is.
Yeah. All right, Lester Holt, we'll see you tonight on the NBC Nightly News on NBC 5 Chicago at 5:30.
Sounds good. You guys take
care.
Thanks,
sir. All right, bye-bye. Let's check in now. Kim Gordon's got the news in the WGN newsroom at the bottom of the hour. What's coming up?
Roe, the man accused of hitting and killing an Oaklawn high school student, in court today.
A contractor, a Christian, a con man, even a member of his own family feels ripped off. Ben Bradley reports. WGN-TV investigates tonight at 9.
Coming up, I got Hawks tickets, Hawks Devils on Valentine's night. Could do something with a kiss cam right there.
Ooh, racy kiss cam.
Right, it's coming up. Just a few minutes, all brought to us by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. And this will be your chance to win tickets all regular season long.
Nice.
All right. We also got a top 5-5 coming away at 5 o'clock. A.B. Stoddard's going to join us. Richard Roper will be here. He's going to tell us about the new Liam Neeson movie.
How's that doing? I guess there was no red carpet for that. But there is going to be a movie, I assume.
I'll tell you why there was no red carpet.
Why?
Because I understood there were going to be black bastards on the white red carpet. And I can't have that. It just drives me nuts every time I see him. I just want to take my cush and kill him.
Your what?
Don't ask.
Yeah.
His weapon.
The bludgeon?
A bludgeon, yeah.
It's a bludgeon. I just wanted to go around and see him coming out of a pub. If I saw them coming out of a pub and look at me sideways, I was going to bludgeon them with my cush. Until they were dead in my hands. They're cold, dead hands in my hands. I hope you go and see my new movie.
Oh, gee. That's a... I don't know if that moves me.
I don't always want to kill the blacks. If you see my movie, maybe I don't want to kill you. I don't know. I can't tell until I see you come out of the movie. Maybe they're out of the pub. Maybe I'm drunk. I don't know. Opens Thursday night at midnight. I hope you're there.
Oh, gee. I think I'm busy.
Oh, God.
Wonder what happens to that movie.
And then there's the Lego movie, too. Is that safer to go to?
Is there something wrong with that?
Is that safer to go? Or is one of those Lego men also an inveterate, like, you know, racially inspired violence guy?
Those are fun.
Wait, that'd be bad if one of the Lego characters broke bad, too. Yeah.
Well, you could always change the head on them, so sometimes you could put the different colors on top of a different body.
Oh, it makes me so mad when they put a different color on top of the body just to try to confuse me.
All right, thank you, Liam. And Graham Elliott will be here to play News or Ruse later on in the program, too. All right,
Great.
We got Kim Gordon. She's standing by. She's got the news in 2 minutes. I'm not going to make you wait any longer. I'm going to get right at it. Caller number 19 at 312-981-7200 rips us off. You get Blackhawks tickets to see them take on the Devils on February 14th. That's Valentine's Day, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all of the right reasons, Four Seasons, find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com or listen for your chance to win tickets all regular season long.
Nice.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very important. So we take care of you. We're going to take care of business right there, mm-hmm. right then and there.
That's important.
Is it 5 straight wins for the Blackhawks?
Kev?
5 straight wins. That's five right. Right wins. Back in the thick of things here.
Like that.
It is. Yeah, they are right back in the thick of things. It's going to take a real surge here at the end. Right? There's 30 games left, I think.
Just less than that. It would be 28 right now.
28?
Yeah.
All right. So 28 games. They basically can ill afford to lose any of them. I know it would be quite a win streak, but they gotta pretty much get, and they got to get 20 points to have a chance, don't you think?
You got to think so, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, they're only 3 points out of the wild card, but there's still 5 teams they have to jump.
Right.
So you got to make up ground, and you got to make up ground fast, which they're doing right now. 5 straight wins is huge.
So you got 28 games, and you need to basically get a point in 2/3 of them, if not, you know.
I think it's doable, though.
Yeah.
That sounds doable.
Yeah. I think it is. Oh, for sure, it's doable. And if there's a team that's going to do it, and there's two guys who could not be playing any better than they're playing as Kane
right.
and Taves.
Right.
So these games have real meaning, too.
No question.
Exciting to watch.
And Cam Ward has been, Cam Ward's been much better in goal. He feels, you know, that you can see a consistency building with him. Mm-hmm. The one issue, and we'll be at the United Center tomorrow, we'll be talking about all these issues, but the one issue that I think still dogs them is that, you know, the defense has not been great. Although Connor Murphy's back, and how well have they played since Connor Murphy's been back?
They've played very well.
He is my boy, Connor mm-hmm. Murphy.
Judy Pylak broke him.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. But now that Judy is moving to an island.
He's back. It's safe to come out again.
Right, he's no longer a witness protection.
She approached him in the studio, and he just didn't even know what to say.
Yeah. He's been playing much better now that the pressure's yeah. off.
They've got 20 power play goals since December 27th. By far the most in the NHL. The problem has been killing the power play, but at least they're scoring a lot.
Yep. So it's really good. All right. Okay, can I talk about the baseball thing with you for a second?
Yep.
Because
yep,
Anna DeVlantis was just saying to me,
yep.
as a, you're a sports fan, you're sporty.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love most sports.
And the baseball, over the years, has become harder and harder and harder to watch, except for the true baseball fans. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a hard time at the park paying attention mostly to the game. I'm one of those people who love being at a baseball park. I love being, you know, just being there in the social aspects of it, but I just find the game does drag for me, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, you're there not necessarily for the game because, look, there's, I've said this now for a couple of years. They continue to talk about the length of the game, which is up to like 3 hours and 4 minutes on average. The NBA, which has huge ratings, the games are like 2.5 hours. They're quick. They're fast. The thing with baseball is it's the rhythm of the game. There's so many dead periods within baseball. The manager walks out in the 7th inning to get the ball from the reliever. Then he calls in the guy from the bullpen. The guy from the bullpen runs in. He's a lefty specialist. He comes in. He gets one guy out. Then the manager slowly walks back right. out to the mound. And then he calls the next guy in from mm-hmm. the bullpen. And that guy comes out, but he gives up a hit. So then they want to bring in another lefty specialist. So then the manager goes back out there. I mean, that whole period right there is basically no action and about a 15-minute dead period, depending on what happens.
Yeah.
So that's why this, you know, it's not good. It's not good. Even if you love baseball, I mean, it gets so slow late in games. And especially in the playoffs, you see it where they're playing matchups. They're putting a premium on that. So that's the news today was that Major League Baseball and the Players Union are having discussions about potentially a 3-batter minimum for pitchers.
I think this is brilliant. So when you bring a pitcher out, he's going to have to see 3 batters.
Yes.
That's going to change the way. If they do make that change, it's going to change the way that they trade and draft, don't you think, forever? Because you're going to want guys. Because right now there are specialty guys in the bullpen that are just designed to get a guy in, get a guy out.
Yeah, lefty specialists. You're a lefty, come in and get a lefty out. There's also guys that are built, give us 2 or 3 or 4 innings, which you're seeing less and less of those guys in some ways. But, you know, the Tampa Rays are doing this thing where they start the game with a reliever. They start the game with a reliever. He pitches 1 inning, and then they go to a guy that can give them 2 or 3 innings. They do bullpen matchups the entire game. It's almost like these teams are outsmarting baseball. They've kind of figured out, and there's so many numbers that are going into it, that the game is changing so fast that baseball needs to keep up. And, of course, there's baseball, you know, purists are like, what is this? 3 minimum. You know, people are outraged over some of these rule possible changes that are coming.
I'm deeply troubled by the whole thing.
Yes, I know. It keeps you up at night.
Yes.
Yeah, it does. The state of the country and then the new rules coming to baseball.
Right.
I just think that baseball needs to make drastic changes, not small ones at this point.
So there's that.
What else?
There's that. Now we're going to have a universal... This at least is on the table. I think this is going to get done.
Yeah,
the designated hitter. Mm-hmm. They're moving it over to the National League, which you know ends that whole the National League is more pure than the American League kind of argument.
Right.
Which National League, you know, National League's just snottier. Let's just be honest than the American League. But fine. You know what? If you're going to do it, if it's good enough, then we don't have to worry about which ballpark we're in anymore. It's very confusing. It's even confusing for the fans. Like you go to the Cubs Sox series and you're like if you're down at the rate you're like wait
like where am I getting,
am I getting another am I getting another batter am I not getting another batter what am I doing here.
I know this is one of the most argued topics in baseball, and some people who grew up watching National League the thought of the DH in the NL makes them sick, but like it's going to happen eventually, whether it's look, most of these are probably going to go in 2020, but I think the DH thing, one, it adds some more offense. Two, it actually in the National League can help again with pace of play. Why? Because then managers don't have to go to their bullpen as soon as they do. If it's a fifth inning and your ninth spot's up, you don't have to pull your pitcher because it's a close game and put a DH in because you're putting a premium on scoring runs rather than keeping your pitcher in for another inning or two.
Mm-hmm.
And the double switches that you see. I mean, look at the last game of the season for the Cubs. Anthony Rizzo was on the bench. Why? Because he got double switched out. So many players got double switched out that by the end of the game, your best players weren't even on the field. I just think that the DH is coming to both sides.
And then what about, isn't there a pitch clock? Haven't you talked about this before?
Yeah, there's a pitch clock too. And I hear the thing about the 20-second pitch clock, and there's a pitch clock now in between.
Oh, yeah, it's going great.
Right. Like anybody even knows what's going on. There's like a little play clock, and nobody really follows it.
Right.
And there's really no repercussions if you don't hit that mark. I think if you're going to put a pitch clock in and you're going to shorten it from, what is it, 35 now to 20, like put some sort of set rules in. If you don't throw by that 20-second pitch clock, it's a ball. It's a free ball for the hitter or something like that. There's also talk about expanding the roster to 26 players rather than 25. That basically gives you 30 more major league jobs because teams can add another guy instead of keeping them down in the minors.
Oh.
I like that.
Yeah, single trade deadline. Right now there's the waiver and the non-waiver trade deadline, but those come at the end of July, at the end of August. They want to move that earlier. Which used to be early.
I seem to remember it being in June when I was a kid.
Well, I think that's what they want to do now because the idea of doing this would be for teams to not go into full-blown tank mode from game number one. Because if you have an earlier trade deadline and all of a sudden your team, which you thought wasn't going to be good, is all of a sudden, whoa, halfway through the year, we're pretty good and at least we're in the playoff hunt. Maybe we're buyers instead of sellers. So maybe that detracts some teams from going full-blown, we're going to lose on purpose, beginning on opening day. So there's a study to lower the mound.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lower the mound.
All right. Well, when you go up to the mound.
Yeah.
When the thing is, when you see it on television,
it doesn't look like
look like it's that high.
Right.
Then if you ever get the great, unique opportunity to be down on the field, even from the seats, unless you're in the front row, again, you have another opportunity, then you see how high it is. But once you're a couple rows up, it doesn't look like it's that high.
No, it doesn't.
And you go out there, it's like
it's like a sled hill.
I need a ladder. And I'm not a small guy. I need a ladder to get up there. It's like you're climbing. I'm winded halfway up the mound.
It's a lot higher than you'd expect.
So what that will do is by lowering the mound, it's going to change. It's actually going to...
Helps the batter.
Yeah, disadvantage
for the pitcher.
Right.
Because the lever that the guy... Because as he's falling off that mound,
creating
that
torque,
arm whip...
Yep,
yeah. Oh,
yep.
Yeah. It's a huge deal.
Well, they lowered it in the late 60s, Roe. I don't know. I'm trying to do the math. I don't even know if you were...
I was alive, but okay. I don't really recall.
Okay. Well, they did lower it at one point in an attempt to increase offense. I think it was like 1969 they lowered the mound. So that's another attempt to increase offense.
But did they raise it back up? Or is this the lower mound? Because if this is the lower mound, what the hell were they pitching on before?
I think this
Sandy Koufax?
I think that was the last time they had lowered the mound. I'll double check it.
Maybe it's just
back
up.
I'll fact check it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that because lowering the mound, it's a whole other world for these guys.
Mm. They want to put create more action is the bottom line.
Right.
Less dead time in a game, more action. And if there's more offense, that means the ball's being put in play more. The ball hasn't been put in play this little of amount in many, many years. It's like home run or a walk. You know, it's not. You don't see a ton of base hits anymore. It just seems like there's a couple big plays here and there throughout a game. So they just want more action. They want the bat on the ball more often.
Okay.
Which I think I'm okay with that. And the last one was a rule that would allow two-sport amateurs to sign major league contracts. Why has this one been brought up? Because Kyler Murray, who won the Heisman Award at Oklahoma, was initially drafted by the Athletics, has a deal there. But anybody drafted in baseball, you automatically get a minor league deal, not a major league contract. Now Kyler Murray all of a sudden might go to the NFL draft, depending on when he gets drafted there. So they've created some controversy there as well. So
that's not going to affect a lot of people.
No, that's not a lot of stuff. But the reason I think that's brought up because of the Kyler Murray stuff. But
Very different, and baseball is different. You do need the time in the minor leagues to get adjusted to the major leagues, because you hear what these guys talk about. It's one thing to come from college into the pros, and in training, it takes about half a season. These guys, either they make it or they don't, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in baseball, it does take years to develop, because you're getting kids that are 19 years old, and you look at the difference between the bodies of the kids that they bring in to baseball, and then when they're actually, and this is the post-steroid era, I hope.
Look at Sox Fest. You're like Eloy Jimenez walking around, Luis Robert walking around. Like, wait, are those members of the Bears? Who are those guys?
Luis Robert, when he came in, Luis Robert was this string bean kid.
Yeah, he's jacked now.
Now he is, right. And it's a big, big difference. But not like Jack, and again, there was an era in the 90s when guys were jacked and their heads got bigger.
Yeah, Barry Bonds' head was like seven times larger from 5 years before.
Yeah, and you're like, how'd your head get bigger?
You know, people do that 10-year challenge on Instagram. Like, if you did that for Barry Bonds during the roid era, it would wouldn't even fit the side picture. It was crazy. I don't think it is what it is.
Don't worry about it.
Because they did. They became monsters.
Superhuman.
I mean, Sammy Sosa. Sammy Sosa was this thin kid, right? And then next thing you know, his head, first of all, it turned into like a vanilla swirl color, which was weird. I can't quite figure out how he did that.
The color was altered too.
But he became this, the steroids cannot be good for you.
Right.
It's all you learned. Because all of a sudden your ears are three times the size that they were before.
Remember in the home run derby, Sammy Sosa's casually hitting like 550-foot homers?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, this is great.
Oh,
this
normal.
Is awesome. This is totally normal.
Fun. Oh, it's because he's totally working fun. Out.
Oh, the ball exploded in middle of the air? That's totally normal.
Oh.
And it was cool for a minute. And then everyone's like, wait a minute.
Wait,
the integrity of the game.
All right, thank you. All right, let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Rose Senator Elizabeth Warren apologizing today for any confusion about her ethnicity.
All right, my friends, coming up in the top five at five, all the stupidness that was on the news today.
Boy,
and there's
quite
a bit of it.
I think Illinois is sending Virginia a thank you note, though. Don't look at us. Look over there.
It's crazier over there. I kind of find the Elizabeth Warren thing to be the most entertaining of all of the stupid things that politicians have done all week. I mean, the blackface thing is one thing.
Well, I think it's the multitude of people. They're just going down the line of succession, and they find another guy who, one was the sexual harassment or sexual assault charges or allegations from this woman who's come forward. The lieutenant governor. And then the third guy who would get the job, if those two didn't work out, then he's got, I've got this blackface photo of myself, too.
Yeah.
Let me just put that out there.
All right. All that comes your way, plus A.B. Stoddard will join us to talk about all the things we just mentioned and more. That comes your way in the 5 o'clock hour. Stay right here. We got news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in two. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes right here on 720 WGN. Our own Anna DeVlantes is going out to wrangle politicians at 7 o'clock tonight. Stay close right here at 7 o'clock. We will take you live to the WGN Crane Chicago Business Forum, Mayoral Forum.
Right. The people who would like to be your next mayor here in the city of Chicago are going to make their case with less than 3 weeks to go before the election and a lot of undecided voters. If you look at the polls, 25% or more say they're still undecided. They don't know who they're going to pick. So we'll hopefully he hopefully provides some answers, or at least we'll have the candidates provide answers that may sway you one way or another.
God help us.
Good luck. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, God help you. All right, let's do this.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Taplantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Ah, we shall. Checking in at
number five.
Presidential hopeful Senator Elizabeth Warren facing criticism.
Yes.
For saying she was a Native American when she wasn't. Mm-hmm. Although she is 1/1,000,000th of a Native American, according to her DNA test.
I think it's possible she's 1/1,037th or something like that.
Now, I would like to point out that she she is, when that came out, that she was like 1/1,026th or whatever the number that was.
Right.
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 She said, well, you see, it proves it. She's trying to make the argument, yes, I am. And then people are like, no, you're not.
Well, and people who are, you know, tribal leaders said, yes. No, we don't claim you, and this is very different.
It's not how this works. You have to show some sort of tribal relationship. And then you get that. I mean, there are people who had no idea that they were Native American, and then they find out that they are, and then they go and they seek tribal identity.
Sure.
That is not what happened here.
From Michigan, who that happened for him. He was right. 1/4.
And that's a big number right there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it just doesn't. Her answers are not sufficient. So. The Washington Post published a story that shows that when she was trying to get her Texas registration card for the bar of the state of Texas when she was in school down there, she checked American Indian on the application. And then
she didn't check it. She wrote it. When they said, what is your race? There was a line and you could fill it in. She wrote American Indian.
Okay, well, here's a problem. Because she had to answer questions from a scrum of reporters today.
Why did you list yourself as an American Indian on this Texas bar application?
So this was about 30 years ago, and I am not a tribal citizen. Tribes and only tribes determine citizenship. When I was growing up in Oklahoma, I learned about my family the same way most people do. My brothers and I learned from our mom and our dad and our brothers and our sisters, and those were our family stories.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. That still does not fully explain this, but go ahead.
But that said, there really is an important distinction of tribal citizenship. I am not a member of a tribe, and I have apologized for not being more sensitive to that distinction. It's an important distinction.
Yep.
Apology season.
Yep.
For something that happened decades ago.
I mean, to show you how long it happened ago, she wrote American Indian.
Right.
And that hasn't been acceptable for decades.
Right.
Right.
Right. As opposed to East Indian or whatever. Or God knows what people wrote back then. I don't even want to know. Just looking at the application, you could get arrested.
Yes.
How do you respond to that criticism, that this was a knowing attempt to get ahead by using that claim of ancestry?
So that is a claim that has been fully investigated, and it has now been shown completely that nothing about my background ever had anything to do with any job I got in any place. It's been fully documented, and there's no evidence of any kind other than it had nothing to do. My background has nothing to do.
She's referring to the Boston Globe, which did a full investigation last fall that said that her meteoric rise and the many, many accomplishments were not aided by her heritage in any way. But now she's saying, I'm not sure, she can't deny the claim that American Indian heritage might not appear on multiple documents still to come.
Okay, so that's exactly the point. They keep asking her, but is it anywhere else?
This is who I grew up believing with my brothers. This is our family story. And it's all consistent from that point in time. But as I said, it's important to note I'm not a tribal citizen, and okay, I should have been more more mindful of the distinction with tribal citizenship and tribal sovereignty.
Yes, we got it.
And that is why I apologize to Chief Baker and why I've made a very public apology.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. I would not run for president if I were her. Did I mean, listening to her right there, this is, she refuses to answer the question. The answer was, listen, that's what we all thought we were, and I thought I was going to get a little bit of advantage from it, even though I don't understand any. I couldn't even tell you what tribe we were from. I don't know. Is there an Oklahoma tribe? Whatever it was.
Cherokee. She should have done 23andMe.
She did.
She did. That's what she put out to tell the president, you know, look at me. I really could be.
What did it show?
One and 1,026th.
But has she actually been lying all this time? Like, I've been saying I'm Italian my entire life. If I go and do one of those tests, it might show that I'm actually Greek.
Okay.
You know?
But your family has always, you know, of course, Warren is a great Native American name. A lot of people.
Elizabeth Ann?
Yes. Elizabeth Ann Warren. I mean, it's clearly, you know, she's not exactly Shasheen Littlefeather. And by the way, Shasheen Littlefeather wasn't even Shasheen Littlefeather.
But like,
she was like Amy Goldblatt or something.
Up until recently, all we've had are the stories that have been passed down to us.
But are you deliberately using them as an advantage to get somewhere else in life?
When you know it had nothing to do with your actual upbringing. It was not like she was going to. She didn't grow up on a reservation. Right. She didn't socialize as a kid with other members of her family who had that tribal identity and tribal life and the world that exists on the reservations for Native Americans is in totally different world than exists outside those reservations. And for good and for bad. If you talk to people who you know live in that world, man, it's a very different thing, and they clearly know. And this is not a question of if this is because you're sitting there. Well, am I Italian? What difference does it make? No one's. By the way, you're getting no advantage.
Yeah, and would you
for being
if you were
Italian
asked
in this town.
If you're asked to self-identify, would you say Italian?
Or are you going from Park Ridge? Which one do you go with?
that's not really an option. But if somebody asks, I'd say I'm Italian.
All right.
Is that what I know of? What I know. But we don't know anything anymore.
Right. You should go on 23andMe.
Yeah. What are you not telling us, Jen?
Exactly.
We need to know facts.
Find out that you're Macedonian and you have to explain that to everybody.
I'm supposedly like 50% Sicilian, so that's not really Italian.
You don't want to hear that speech about the Sicilian and the Moors and all that.
No,
forget it. All right. Moving on to
number four.
All right. The president, he had a blue veiner today. He's mad at Adam Schiff because it looks like the House of Representatives is going to launch an investigation into his business practices. And they want to figure out if he's actually compromised based on the money that he continues to make.
On what basis would he do that? He has no basis to do that. He's just a political hack who's trying to build a name for himself. And I think that's fine because that's what they do. But there would be no reason to do that. No other politician has to go through that. It's called presidential harassment, and it's unfortunate, and it really does hurt our country.
Mm-hmm. Well, if he released his taxes, that might have made it a little easier.
You get to see what's what.
Yeah. But he hasn't, and he does do curious things. And then in the middle of last week, in the middle of all the other stuff, when he got mad at Howard Schultz for taking a shot of him on 60 Minutes, he goes, I hope Howard's still paying my rent.
At the Trump Tower, right?
Right. You're like, wait a second. Are you supposed to be collecting your rent at the Trump Tower?
Are you supposed to be keeping track of that stuff?
All right. We'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, Kim Gordon tells us what's happening on the WGN News at the bottom of the hour.
If you think this winter has been cold, just wait till summer.
Catch Living Healthy Chicago this Saturday at 9 a.m. Learn more about the struggles and successes of everyday Chicagoans. Health and fitness is the topic. Living Healthy Saturday at 9 a.m. on WGN TV.
All right, top 5-5 continues. We're up to
number 3.
Roger Stone has been complaining about how the FBI busted into his house, right? They scared his dogs.
Yep.
Scared his wife. They had guns pointed. He's all upset about it. Hmm. Well, you know who doesn't care about that? O.J. Simpson.
What?
O.J. Simpson, who's a neighbor. He's like, "Are you kidding me?"
You've
just been going through that. Imagine what I've been through.
Now you think he's going to get impeached?
Well, I'll be hanging around with that guy.
hang around people like that Roger Stone. Hey, let me say this. You know, I got raided by the FBI in Miami. 37 FBI agents, 5 o'clock in the morning. And I had more than dogs. I had kids there. They were a little traumatized. And my friend, he got raided too. For nothing, that SEC Task Force. They were wrong. You never heard another word about it after the media made a big deal out of them in there. So the FBI can be wrong, you know. But to try to compare it to El Chapo and Bin Laden, hey, man, Bin Laden was carried out in a bag, not walked out in handcuffs. So, you know, man up. Stop crying.
Did he say he got raided?
Yeah.
Wasn't there a reason why he got raided?
Yeah. Well, whatever.
Okay.
That's not the point.
All right. He's saying that it's perfectly normal.
OJ and I agree on one thing. Mm-hmm. Roger Stone comparing himself to Bin Laden is wrong. All right. Checking in at
number two.
Listen to this. The Simpsons has been renewed for seasons 31 and 32.
Gosh, how about that?
Making it the longest running scripted primetime series in the history of American television.
Aw, where's your sense of humor?
Oh, it's tapping.
Hello, is Al there?
Al?
Yeah, Al. Last name, Caholic?
Let me check. Phone call for Al. Alcoholic. Is there an alcoholic here? Wait a minute. Listen, you little yellow belly rat jackass. If I ever find out who you are, I'll kill you.
I wonder if The Simpsons predicted what's happening in Virginia.
You know, Moe the bartender was played by Liam Neeson. People don't realize that.
Oh.
And finally,
number one.
Stephen Colbert, special live post-Day of the Union show.
Good evening. I'm Vladimir Putin. I am President of Russia and James Bond bad guy. I agree with President Trump's call for unity. Both sides must come together and do exactly what he says, that I told him to say. And I applaud his plan for the border wall. We built a wall in Germany, and not one Mexican got into East Berlin. By the way, congratulations to Pete Davidson and Kate Beckinsale. I wish you kids well.
Great.
Closing this up.
The top five at five.
An economic miracle is taking place in the United States. And the only thing that can stop it are foolish wars, politics, or ridiculous partisan investigations. If there is going to be peace and legislation, there cannot be war and investigation. It just doesn't work that way.
Did you notice how Republicans were like, oh, there's live cameras in here. And if we applaud this lack of investigation and something bad happens, we're all going to jail.
We should lay low on that one.
Yeah, maybe we should. Maybe we shouldn't. A.B. Stoddard, your thoughts on that as the Republicans are all like, yay. Oh, wait a second. Hold on.
Back off the
bat. I don't know. I don't know where I am on that.
Yeah, that was really a strange moment. There were so many last night, but that was really remarkable. It was the, you know, they have to be able to be to tell the president later that they clapped for that line, but they have to win a general election when there's more turnout next year in a presidential election year. Ah!
Yeah, and you might be in jail by then, so we just want to make sure. And then today the president breaks bad on you know, poor Adam Schiff. I mean, this poor guy. And he gets up there. He's the least dynamic human being I have ever seen in the House of Representatives. And he's in charge of perhaps the most important thing that's going to go on is the House is going to investigate whether the president is actually being influenced by his own business dealings, which he has left himself completely open to, the president has.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and he knew this was coming, not only just, generally that Democrats would be eager to look into any kind of financial compromises, crimes that would provide a motive for this sudden time where in our history where the president's interests align with that of the president of the Russian Federation. And it's either disturbing or curious or both. But I think he got some tips from his boy, Devin Nunes, about more details about what was coming. And I think that that... I mean, I think that's been getting to them in the last couple of days. I don't know if that's exactly what led to that line in the State of the Union address, but I think that they, you know, they've had a good sense of the first steps Schiff was going to take from the minority members of the committee who ran it last year.
Do we actually believe that? If you watch CNN enough, you notice they're running this promo showing Ron Ziegler, who was the press secretary at the time, of the Nixon, the night in August in 1974 where Nixon had to resign. And Ziegler talking about how tough it is, and tonight the president's going to make a speech and the whole thing. And it almost, it's almost like soft porn for the anti-Trump people. And it's very weird to watch CNN do this. It's almost like, hey, one day this is our fantasy that, you know, what that Sarah Sanders will be standing up there like this. And I'm thinking, what are they doing? People have got to take this one step at a time. We don't know where this is actually going to head. And just that gives energy to all the people who say this is purely political and the press is purely political.
I think you're right that there is, we've talked about this, in December, I believe, that the president would like to talk about impeachment. You know, he would like Democrats to be eagerly pursuing impeachment. And it's been in a lot of their fundraising appeals. So it is kind of clickbait for the RNC. It is a trap for the Democrats who just got the majority back, don't know what's in the Mueller report, don't know what they're going to find, can't get an impeachment process through a Senate trial with a conviction, likely anyway, barring something in the Mueller report that, you know, is so criminal that he loses Republican support. In which case, they have a bipartisan impeachment, and it's fine. But they're not going to go it alone. I mean, so it's a weird thing to kind of be able to telegraph or forecast the idea of such a powerful political collapse that we would see the Congress pursue impeachment. Because I don't believe it would be pursued unless it was bipartisan.
News poll says that 52% of American voters would not consider voting for Donald Trump. 52%. That's a number that even with the Electoral College undoubtedly loses you the presidency. So yeah. Isn't this sort of incumbent upon Democrats? If there's a political, it should be a political solution, because impeaching him as a criminal procedure, legislative procedure, it does seem to be, it might be very damaging to the body politic completely. So if you want to just sort of step back and say, if America is going to get back on a track in terms of electing a leader who's, you know, more like a traditional American president, who isn't going, for example, not going to nominate a guy to be the head of the World Bank who wants to close the World Bank, right? Or, you know, I mean, you know, people who are not just playing on these, you know, crazy email tropes that are out there, the World Bank is, you know, part of a gigantic Jewish conspiracy. You know, I mean, if you could just find somebody, isn't it up to America, whether it's Republican or Democrat, to just find a way through the process?
Well, that depends. I mean, I don't know. I don't know a scenario. I mean, I've not been alive during a scenario where we're, you know, faced with something that impeachment was designed for. If something were to come to pass, whether it's, you know, a Democratic president or a Republican president, where they truly had done something that was impeachable, and it brought, as I mentioned, you know, two parties together to say the system is more important than the man or the woman, and you can no longer serve in the executive because you have, you are guilty of a high crime, misdemeanor, whatever. I mean, that, like I said, it's an extraordinary circumstance. We'll see if someday in our lifetimes that's merited. And in this case, it would be by some, you know, beyond belief findings that Bob Mueller comes up with, but nothing that we know in combination now or have evidence of now. But I do think that, that's what it's for. So if it merits it and both parties say, yes, this is ridiculous, then you have to go through with it because you can't say, you know, that the presidents are too big to fail. So that's I mean, in terms of, like, you can't be impeached, right?
Right, that makes them a 10.
Because then we're undoing the Constitution, right. And we're undoing a check on the executive that our founders intended in the creation of Article 1 of the Congress. And that's what I take so seriously in the discussion of President Trump in general, and we've discussed it here so many times, is whether or not people, by giving him a pass on everything, are so corroding the system that no matter who becomes president afterwards, we can't get the system back. And so, you know, that's what I'd say about the need for impeachment if it's merited. And then moving on, no, you can't just start threatening impeachment on everybody who becomes unpopular during their time in office. That's not acceptable. So yes, you have to hope that the party, that either the Republicans decide to challenge Trump within, which of course we don't think that they will. But there certainly is talk about that, and Larry Hogan, my governor, I think is taking it very seriously. Or the Democrats try to also beat him in 2020 with their own candidate who could win over enough independents to make him one-term president.
AB, what's the process for getting prominent politicians to step down in Virginia? You've got three of the top three of them on, you know, the elected officials in the state now under so much fire. Two of them for dressing in blackface, and then the lieutenant governor with the sexual assault charges from the woman who's now come forward. And it sounds a lot more credible than initially it was being reported.
It's I mean, especially coming after the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, I think it's really hard for Democrats not to, although they, you know, had so much faith and excitement invested in Justin Fairfax as a real, you know, future leader in their party and a real up-and-comer, they have to stick with this woman as saying seriously because she's come forward now. And it is very much a similar, you know,
he hired Brett Kavanaugh's lawyers.
And she has Christine Blasey Ford's lawyers.
Yeah. But on the I think that's really unfortunate for Justin Fairfax, but he can't blow past those allegations, and we'll see how he gets past that in his political career. I don't know what's going on with these three men, and if they're, it may be because it's the three of them all aflame, you know, no one steps down. And so I don't know what the outcome will be, but I feel so. I think Mark Herring calling a few days ago for Governor Northrup to step down is just crazy, and then reveal, you know, within days that he too was in blackface, like he didn't know that on Saturday.
Right. Yeah. Right. All right. Hold on.
What's
a second.
What's going on?
I just got to stop here for just a second because I went to school in the 80s. I don't remember blackface ever being cool. I don't remember guys like, you know, the guys running around the campus in blackface going, hey, we're going to a blackface party.
I feel the same way. I've seen Twitter in the last couple of days and people are saying, oh, you're so naive. You know, systemic racism is everywhere. These are pictures from people are doing this at college parties in 2019 and 2018. But like you, I feel this is so awkward and bewildering because I don't feel like I have a degree in blackface. Nobody anywhere around me or second or sixth connected to me or hearsay or acquaintance or
right.
I mean, nobody
That's
was doing
I
blackface in the 80s, as far as I knew. Absolutely nobody. And so I feel the same way you do. Like, who are these people that thought they could dress up as rappers at parties? And then people are trying to say, yeah, it's still going on right now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it might be. I don't doubt. But where and who? And okay, maybe at SMU. All right. Okay, I can see it there. But I mean,
stop.
I don't know. It's. I think it. It's. I. All right, I'm going to say this and it's going to drive people nuts, but I think it's more of a Southern thing. I honestly do. Because in the North, I mean, I don't know, because I'm from the North. I went to school in Ohio. There's not a chance.
I was raised by New Yorkers and people from Connecticut. We've never heard of this. You know, this is just not a thing. But I was so stunned that you know, in 1984, not 1944, you know, Ralph Northam could be doing that at parties, let alone, you know, someone could be in a KKK costume.
Trying to decipher which one he is.
I think it's even worse. What medical school? And they said it's a good medical school. Yeah. The medical school yearbook?
Right.
In the yearbook?
Let's choose this photo.
And chose it, right. And then he's not sure which one he is, and then first he was one, and now he's not.
That's not me. Hold on, let me take a look at that again. That might be me. No, that's too dark. I wouldn't have gone that dark, because it's hard to get the shoe polish off.
Right.
You're like, what?
You could really tell on the presser, it was completely depressing, how out of it he is, how insensitive he is to just how bad this was, because he did almost moonwalk, and his wife had to stop him, and it was so cringe-worthy in that sense that he is so checked out that he thought he could apologize on Friday night and wake up on Saturday morning and be like, wait, I have like a new thing. I'm just going to say it wasn't me and I don't remember it.
And then I
almost feel that he feels now that he's considering turning into an independent, leaving the Democratic Party and hiring a private eye or whatever, all these crazy scenarios he's come up with to defend himself and buffer himself. I almost feel as if he believes that the fact that Mark Herring and Kevin Fairfax are drowning in scandal, you know, really does protect him.
Wait, he's going to leave the Democratic Party because why? Because
they don't accept this kind of thing?
He could govern as an independent because the independents can't reject him because there's no independent party.
Oh my God!
Well, Howard Schultz might. I believe that
right now. Vladimir Putin is laughing this whole time. He's kind of like, look what I got now. I don't even have to lift finger, and look what happened. It's just the ball started down the hill. You know, it just did, and it's not going well. All right, well, AB, thank you very much for being sane. Appreciate it.
It's been uplifting, as always.
Yes, thank you. AB Stoddard, reader in Real Clear Politics, realclearpolitics.com. All right, let's check in now. Kim Gordon, what's coming up? Top of the hour in the newsroom.
Road life's getting back to normal along the Kankakee River after flooding this morning.
Oh, I hate this song. It makes me want to take my cushion, beat somebody over the head with it.
All right. Richard Roper has just stepped into the studio, and I would ask you for your thoughts on Liam Neeson, but I'm almost afraid. I just don't get what has happened here. First of all, they canceled the red carpet, right, for the opening of this movie. It's coming out this weekend.
Cold Pursuit is the film.
There was a number of other, including an appearance on Colbert that he was supposed to do this week in advance.
Not happening.
What do you make of all this?
You know, it's an odd thing for him when he was asked by a reporter. You know, basically was asked. Because in the movie Cold Pursuit, which we'll talk about in a second, he plays a father out for revenge, which is the 47th straight Liam Neeson movie in which he's either a father or a husband out for revenge, right? That's what the Liam Neeson canon has become.
Yes.
And he was asked, how do you tap into that? How do you, you know, that kind of anger? And he told the story about how 40 years ago, a friend of his was raped by an African-American man. And then he took to the streets looking for any black person, and he had basically like a club in his hand. And never acted on it. Got help for it, said power walking helped him get through it. None of his explanations are really helping here. You know, and it's a very strange thing. I mean, obviously it's horrific.
Is weird.
But yeah, and if he had simply, first of all, if he did that, and it's horrible, even if he thought that way, he didn't act on it. But if he had simply said, a friend of mine once suffered a brutal attack and I was so angry I wanted to hurt someone, but I didn't, nobody would have ever thought anything about it. So, and then his explanations, his attempts to explain it, and have not helped.
Right. That's true.
And I don't think that Liam Neeson is a horrible person. He doesn't have a reputation for being someone. He's not, you know, he doesn't have a Mel Gibson-esque history, but obviously in this day and age, you know, it's problematic to say the least. I'm getting guff from people for reviewing the movie. First of all, I wrote the movie review like last week, and I would still review it this week. I'm not going to not review a film sure. because someone promoting the film said something horrible and admitted to, you know, this racist, you know, thought and almost action 40 years ago, not excusing it at all. So that's where we're at with that. Cold Pursuit, the film is, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'm not going to see it now. I think if people were going to see it, they're probably going to see it. I don't know how many people are really not going to see it because of what Liam Neeson said. We'll see.
But it is a revenge fantasy film. That's what as you point out, that's what this, ever since Taken, right?
Right.
It just it turned, he's no longer Oscar Schindler. He's now a guy with a particular set of skills.
Exactly.
And he's going to go out and do something.
And the film itself, I'm giving it 3.5 stars, and it's actually a remake of a Swedish film that starred the great Stellan Skarsgård.
Mm-hmm.
And now the same director came to America and basically remade it, almost shot for shot, some changes, in Colorado. So Liam Neeson plays the operator of a snowplow business, and his son, who works at the local airport, is murdered. He finds out that it's from a drug kingpin, so he tries to get to the big drug kingpin by working his way through the various henchmen who work for the drug kingpin. We have a clip here. His brother, who's played by William Forsythe, who's a great character actor,
sure.
who used to be in the mob, he comes to his brother for help in tracking down the kingpin.
Kyle, he got mixed up with some clown by the name of Dante, and they stole a kilo of coke from Viking.
Who's Viking?
Drug dealer. A big one. Viking's a whole different breed. He likes hurting people.
Gonna kill him, Brock.
Sure you are. What makes you think you can kill a man?
I've killed three of his guys.
What did you do with the bodies?
Wrapped them in chicken wire, threw them in the gorge.
Where'd you learn that?
I read it in a crime novel.
Now, here's the thing about this movie. About 20 minutes.
I thought
minutes
about that, too, outside the pub. Right? When I was looking with my cushion in my hand, just wrap you up in a fence wiring, chicken wire.
Right over the gorge. And that's the thing about this film. It takes a while to realize it's essentially a comedy. It's a bloody comedy, but you're supposed to laugh at the absurdity of it all. So it's almost a takeoff on a Liam Neeson crime thriller starring Liam Neeson. One of the things they do in the film is every time someone is killed, they put their name on the screen in white against black and rest in peace in whatever religious symbol they are. So if they're Jewish or Celtic cross or the tribal Indian, and it takes a while. And then so if like 30 people get killed, 30 names go up on the screen. So so don't feel bad about laughing at this. It's intended as an action comedy, almost a takeoff, even though everybody in the movie is playing it straight, which makes it really entertaining. A great cast. Friend Emmy Rossum plays a local cop who like is like, wow, we usually just have to bust kid for smoking the marijuana on the street. It's a ski resort town, and all of a sudden bodies are being strung up,
piling
on
up
the town sign and everything. So, Cold Pursuit is an R-rated action comedy starring the now embattled Liam Neeson.
Does Liam Neeson come back from this?
Yes,
because at the end of the day, as Jiminy Glick would say, he didn't act on it. The story that he tells is a story of his own personal redemption from that, of having a bad moment.
Mm-hmm.
We forgave 50 Cent for being a drug dealer and getting shot up, right? And the other guys who have these like gangster backgrounds that claim to have done all these bad things in their just to get street cred, we seem to have forgiven them their trespasses. And so here's a guy who didn't do anything but says that he had bad thoughts. And I get that he had bad thoughts that he should not have articulated when he's trying to sell his movie.
Yeah, the publicist on that one is probably like, oh, who's next? Is it time for the Zwecker interview? We're going to have to hold off on that.
It's weird.
But you make an excellent point, Ro. You know, Mark Wahlberg was not that much younger than Liam Neeson was when Liam Neeson had this incident, when he, brutally assaulted a store owner, shouting racial expletives, caused permanent damage. I mean, he's acknowledged all this. This is not allegedly. This really happened. And he's, obviously changed his ways. And he's one of the most, lovable characters in Hollywood. Mel Gibson got invited to the Oscars a couple of years ago after all the stuff he said and did.
Right, that's true.
Much more egregious. So it's kind of this, you could even make the argument Kevin Hart, who has not done a good job either of explaining or apologizing for what he said 10 years ago, but those guys are being ostracized while guys who did much worse are back in the fold. So yes, I think Liam Neeson comes back from this.
It's just funny that he chose to go down this road. It's like what it's like the self-inflicted moment of in his own head. Is he thinking, I wonder what kind of story I can come up with to talk about my past and think about revenge. Oh, yeah. There was a time that Sheila was attacked. I'll tell the story about the black bastards. And that's like in his head. And you're like, oh, no.
Yeah. And, you know, you have to figure that over the course of the last 15 years in promoting these various, you know, vengeance, revenge, action movies, other people have said to him, how do you tap into that kind of anger? Because in real life, of course, you're not on this mad pursuit to avenge, you know, your daughter's kidnapping or your wife's murder, or there's a terrorist on the plane. How do you tap into that? And, you know, usually you just say it's called acting. Or, yeah, you say, you know, I've suffered loss and felt, you know, pain about it, and I kind of channel that. But very odd thing to get into specifics. And, of course, in this day and age, it doesn't just appear in the one newspaper.
Well, it's funny because there have been a lot of people who are arguing, well, the guy can have a, you know, just because he had a bad thought and he said it, you know, why is everybody going back? You know, why is everybody so mad at him? Well, this is the point that this isn't about being politically correct. The point is you don't have to bring up stuff that is racially provocative for the sake of being racially provocative, because it's just going to cause more provocation and get defensive, and it doesn't really help you tell your story. That's the point.
Yeah.
And now I think he's learned that lesson, and he didn't have to bring it up like that. As you pointed out, he could have just said, listen, I had a friend who was attacked, and I wanted to get even with the attacker, so I was out there looking for the attacker. And
yeah, he didn't have or to I be considered very a random act of violence just because I was so angry, anything like that, and no one would have ever thought anything of it. And but again, I do say, you know, I do not believe the director and the 250 people who worked on that film and everybody else should be punished for something Liam Neeson said well after they made the movie. It's not like the people, hey, you went in the movie with Bryan Singer, who did Bohemian Rhapsody, and now look at all the allegations and charges against him. Why did you do that movie? And half of the cast is saying, oh, I didn't know about that. He's also been disinvited and unnominated for various things. So, you know, that's a big difference between a case like this.
All right. Richard Roper's here, being brought to us by Arkadek. And let us now check in with Kim, and then we'll come back and we'll see if the Lego movie has similar kinds of it. Anybody in the Lego movie say anything that they shouldn't have said?
I don't think any of the Lego plastic figurines have said anything controversial.
All right, we'll find out about that.
Thank goodness. First,
Kim?
Not your typical morning commute on one CTA bus.
A contractor, a Christian, a con man, even a member of his own family feels ripped off. Ben Bradley reports. WGN-TV investigates tonight at 9.
All right, Richard Roper is here. We're doing some movie review, and the Lego Movie 3.
Two. There have been other Lego movies, though. You're right about that, but there was like a Lego Batman movie, but this is the sequel to the first Lego movie.
Okay, Lego Movie 2 Lego Movie is 2. Out. He Needs Glasses is the name of this show. So the Lego movie, the first Lego movie was kind of a surprise hit with adults, right?
Huge surprise hit. It made hundreds of millions of dollars. It seemed like the most ridiculous thing since I made fun of the Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm like, how are they going to make a movie out of that? $10 billion later. So the Lego movie, it turned out to be this really kind of cool, pop culture-y, candy-colored, fun, really smart superhero movie, but they're all Lego pieces. And one of the cool things is the animation, because it's kind of like that stop action. They don't have them moving like, they move like Lego pieces, basically. You know, kind of weirdly.
Yeah.
And their little mouths move. They don't have any noses, just like Lego figures. So I think the kids love that, because they really look like the toys. Because guess what? You can buy all the figurines that are in the movie now at stores.
Oh,
they're even Lego stores. So that, I thought the movie was terrific. Lego Movie 2 takes place 5 years after the first Lego movie. And one of the cool things I like about these Lego movies is the toys are at the mercies of the brother and sister who live upstairs, basically, in the house and are playing with them. So it has almost kind of a Toy Story thing. So occasionally you'll see the real life, as you will, you know, human figures playing the brother and sister. And the plot here is the little sister's gotten older now, so now her parents are making the brother play with her. So now they're getting all these kind of female princessy horses and everything, like wanting to play with the action hero. So that's the setup. And then there's a lot of self-referential stuff. We got a clip here. So Chris Pratt plays the everyman hero, right, of the Lego movies. Now he meets his alter ego, who's actually based on all the Chris Pratt real life movie characters he's played, because he's like the dinosaur wrangler and he's the guardian of the galaxy. So here's regular guy Chris Pratt meeting superhero Chris Pratt. They're both Legos.
Who are you?
The name's Rex. Rex Danger Vest.
Galaxy Defending Archaeologist.
Cowboy.
Raptor Trainer.
Who likes building furniture.
Bumpy heads.
And having chiseled features previously hidden under baby fat.
Whoa.
Enemy ship.
That's a negative. That boy is my ship.
Built it myself out of spare pieces.
Let me show you around.
Hey, you broke my ship.
Listen, kid, you can build anything, but there ain't nothing you can't break. I don't get it.
So I like the back and forth there. So I'm giving 3 stars to Lego Movie 2 because it's a little bit repetitive from the first one. It's hard to be that clever another time around. But man, I'd say 70% of the jokes are for the adults in the crowd. 30% are for the kids. But the kids will love it because it always just looks great and stuff. You know, and yeah, things break and it's Lego world.
And it's still candy colored.
Yeah, beautiful looking animation. Then they go up to the real world. Maya Rudolph and Will Ferrell are the parents in the real world. And like, you know, they have the great little moments like when she comes in to tell the kids to play nicely. Of course, she's going to step on one of those dang Legos. And, you know, that's the most painful thing. Every parent in the world has felt that, right? In the middle of the night, you get up to pee. What do you step on? A Lego.
And the Barbie stiletto.
And the
there's nothing worse than the Barbie stiletto. Ooh, wow. She can't stand up in the Barbie stiletto, so you can't get her to stand up. And then, which I think there's some reality to that. And then it gets lost. It gets into the carpeting. And the next thing you know, you're walking around in your living room and it's over.
Yeah.
You've got that between your toes. There's every parent knows what that feels like.
There's a lot of fun with that. And yes, there is a Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg Lego figure in this movie.
Okay, now she is having her biggest Hollywood moment, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, superhero. Is she not?
She's a superhero, right?
She's up for an Oscar.
Yeah, the documentary is up for best documentary, obviously. And yeah, she's even in the Lego movie, too.
All right, we're going to play.
So there you go.
All right, so 3 stars for that. 3.5 stars for the Liam Neeson movie, despite the fact that he's basically barfed on his own publicity for it.
Yes. So you will not see anybody else probably promoting the movie. And those are the two. Oh, and then later this week, I'll come in and we'll talk about What Men Want. That's the Taraji P. Henson remake of What Women Want, starring Mel Gibson. Remember that one? Speaking of guys who've had their moments.
Right.
There you have it.
I can't wait to hear about that. All right. Graham Elliott is going to play News or Ruse. You want to play News or Ruse? Get ready for it. 312-917-2200. And all that comes your way after Kim Gordon's news in 2 minutes.
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan.
Thank you, Mr. Duffy. We have actually a real celebrity in as our celebrity today. It so rarely ever happens, but it did in this particular case. Graham Elliott is here. And you love Graham Elliott from the television. You know him from his restaurants. We know him from this show because he's a friend of the show. And sometimes he fills in on this show for us when we're not here. So welcome back. Thank you very much. Thank you. Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. This is my fault. Go ahead.
Thank you. And if I'm a celebrity, then, I mean, our standards have absolutely been lowered more than ever here.
They have. Now, I have a promotional announcement here. Hold on. Here we go. See Graham on Bravo's Emmy award-winning hit cooking competitions, Top Chef, as a full-time judge alongside Padma Lakshmi, who we love.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Colicchio, is that it?
That's right.
I always get that wrong. And Gail Simmons. Beginning 2019, he joins former Iron Chef Kat Cora and restaurateur and food maven and New York Times bestselling cookbook author Aisha Curry in a new family-driven competition series on ABC called Family Food Fight. That's a big deal.
Family food fight.
Incredible.
That sounds intriguing.
Yeah, they like fist fight and arm wrestle over a steak. It's amazing. You're going to love it.
It's going to be great. All right. So, we're going to play News or Ruse, and let's see what we're playing for. The winner gets a pair of tickets to the Mel Brooks comedy musical, The Producers, playing at Paramount Theater in Aurora, February 6th through March 17th. Tickets at ParamountAurora.com and a $50 gift certificate from Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Home of the Edge, their state-of-the-art kitchen and bath showroom in Broadview, now also open in Orland Park. Actually, everybody's going to get that as well.
Nice.
All right. Mm.
The Mel Gibson producers didn't take off as much, huh?
That's true.
Mel Gibson one versus Mel Brooks.
Right. And then, actually, as it turns out,
Mel Blanc did a funny one, though.
Cartoon. All right, I'm going to let you guys just... you guys work it all out. All right, let's find out who's playing this thing. We got Ken playing with Kim.
He was laughing.
Ken, you there?
Yeah.
Hello.
All right, Ken. We got Jim playing with Kevin.
That's me.
And Mike playing with Graham. Mike, you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Mike, let's do this.
I can't tell any of these people apart. Right, I think it's the same guy all three times. All right.
One dude with three phones.
I won. Here we go. It starts with you, Ken and Kim. Here is your headline.
All righty.
Elderly ladies fight over bingo seats, prompts brawl at long-term care facility.
Oh, that's got to be news. I've seen it. My grandmother would be one of those people.
Okay, let's go. You say it is news?
I think it's news.
All right.
Okay, news.
All right. That's all correct. Right. There you go. Got one right. All right, here we go. We got Jim and Kevin.
Jim and Kevin. All right, the kids, here we go. Are you ready?
Yes.
Emergency medical service phones cut off in northern Serbia due to unpaid bills. Emergency medical service phones cut off in northern Serbia due to unpaid bills.
That sounds news
to me, yeah. My friend.
Yeah, yeah. I would have gone with that too, and you would be right.
That's
right.
So sad.
Yeah, not really.
That was a layup.
Yeah. All right, Mike and Graham. Here's your headline: Two Florida men charged with assault and battery after Hooters Take Your Father to Work event ends in chicken wing melee.
I'm saying ruse, but you know what? What was that in Florida?
That was
Florida, it's like 50-50 chance.
Florida.
I'm going to say ruse, but it's on you.
I'm going to go nose.
All right. You should have gone with your partner.
Dude, don't you ever question my excellence when it comes to wings. Come on.
Graham actually thought about naming one of his places Chicken Wing Melee, but he never went with that. So.
Oh,
all right, who we got now? Is this
Ken and Kim?
Okay, here you go, guys. Are you ready?
Okay.
Taco truck crashes through bus station, rams row of parked cars to avoid hitting wrestling armadillos.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Taco truck crashes through bus stations, rams row of parked cars to avoid hitting wrestling armadillos.
Oh, boy.
It sounds too descriptive, you know what I mean?
I know. It's too weird.
I'm going to say ruse, don't you think?
Okay, I mean, let's go. Yeah, if you think it's ruse, go ruse.
All right. There you go. Wow, that was good. I mean, that was sniffing it out because it is, it's too much. If you really had to avoid armadillos and got into an accident, that would just be
wrestling
the headline.
Wrestling armadillos. The wrestling's not weird.
Have you seen the armadillo?
Got me.
The armadillo can't wrestle.
Dropped an elbow.
They don't have elbows.
Top rope. Yeah, armadillos are like chihuahuas with shells on them.
That's true.
Jim and Kevin, here's your headline. St. Louis daycare accused of running toddler fight club.
Oh, my God.
That's got to be ruse.
All right, let's go ruse, Jimmy.
Yes, it happened. It happened.
Fighting over bingo, now these kids.
I know. That's what we got. Incredibly brave right here.
Young Kevin with the confidence of Jared Goff there, but unfortunately the same result.
All right. The mom of a four-year-old said that her son was instructed to punch and hit each other as an adventure in learning.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. All right.
We do that in our house. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's called,
totally
it's called
be,
Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you're the parents. You can
survival
do
of the fittest. Yeah.
Mike and Graham, here's your headline.
Mike and Graham, this Saints fan really didn't want to watch the Super Bowl, so he died.
I think that's totally news.
Okay, go with news.
That's absolutely true.
65-year-old man passed away on Sunday, less than 5 hours before kickoff. He was determined not to watch the Super Bowl. Boy, he followed through on that.
Stuff got dark real
fast.
I know. Sometimes the writers here just get a little maudlin. All right, so here's where we are. We got Ken and Kim with that incredible answer in round two. They're up two. Everybody else has one. We'll find out who the winners are on the other side. Okay. But first, Kim, what's coming up in the news at the top of the hour?
Andrea will have more on a teenager shot in front of a Dalton school.
I need to tell you that the stories that matter with Andrea Darlos are coming up for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio, just a few minutes away. Don't go anywhere. Graham Elliott is with us, celebrity chef, entrepreneur, and a restaurateur. And thank God he settled here in Chicago so that he could bring us his deliciousness for these many years that he has. And now he's just opened up a place in Macau, China, which is, to me, that's a craziness over there. Craziness.
It's incredible. And Chinese New Year right now, so it's double crazy.
The Lunar New Year. Yes. It's crazy. In Chinatown, they got that I learned something about the lion. I'm going to an event on Saturday night with the Chinese lion. Oh, you know, where you go, like the lion dance. Yeah. They come in and they go through to a restaurant. And,
cool.
And it turns out, I don't know why I didn't think of this. The whole idea when that lion goes through is you feed it an envelope with money in it.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I got to be that lion. You just go through.
Sure.
You collect, and then because it's good luck.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody collects. There's no less than $5 in the envelope.
Yeah.
You got 20 people in the restaurant. You know, it's like, hey, hello. $100 for nothing.
How long until like the Catholic Church picks up on that?
Well, yeah,
and, like, starts rolling through like the aisles of the dragon.
When I was a kid, I actually fashioned a pole to a basket and tried to be an usher. That didn't go over well.
Right.
But I started going up and down the aisles, right in the pews there.
Yeah, if you get 100 people in the restaurant, it's $500.
Cash lion. There you go.
Done.
Nice.
All right. Well, congratulations on that. And
thanks.
And as we mentioned, you can see Graham in. In a new family-driven competition series on ABC starting this spring, Family Food Fight.
Yes, it's going to be incredible.
Yeah, all right.
I smell a hit. That sounds like great fun. Actually,
that's the only reason to do it. We were all like, "Yeah, of course."
Yeah,
that sounds
idea.
So great.
All right, we're at round three.
All right,
of News or Ruse, and we're going to start with Mike and Graham because you
Come
guys
on,
have one right. You got to get this right to stay in it. Mike, you ready? Here's the Orion Samuelson round. Here you go.
Florida Eye Doctors Group warns public on dangers of optically ingesting alcohol.
God.
Man. I'll try anything twice. I'll say news, but it's on you.
I'm going to go news, yeah. I was thinking news, too.
First. Son of a...
Mike, clearly we have a problem, because both of us were like, oh, yeah, totally.
Gotta be true.
That's true.
No problem. I listen every day, and it's easy in the car, man.
See? Yeah,
thank you
exactly
very much.
Right.
That's the problem. There's just too much drinking on this show. All right, Jim and Kevin, here is your headline.
Bald hedgehog gets stress-busting massages.
Oh, like a Chicago alderman.
Oh,
could you say that again, please?
Let me repeat that for you. Bald hedgehog gets stress-busting massages.
I'm going to go news here, Jim.
All right, I'll go with you, Kevin.
Wow.
Massages are in right now.
I didn't even understand the question.
Yeah, I know. It's very hot right now. And I like that the alderman had not just he liked the massages, but he also had a massage parlor in his ward office, which I thought was pretty great.
Yeah. Bald hedgehog and massage. I don't know. I'm just straight up thinking Ron Jeremy.
That was
I think that was one of his 500 movies.
Yeah. All right, here we go. This is for the win. Ken and Kim, here is your headline.
25-year-old posed as high school student to relive basketball glory, officials say.
Oh, my gosh. Everybody, all guys want to do that, so I'm going to say news. What do you think?
Okay, news.
Damn it.
There you go, the big win right
there. Well done, well done.
Wow, I mean, you won it in round two. As far as I'm concerned, you caught the ruse in the perfect way. So that's the way you've learned the trick to this game. We're going to have to reinvent. Ooh. It's like it's what Graham does. He reinvents his shows every couple of years.
Right.
So it just you got to do something.
Change it up. You got to change it up.
All right, thank you very much, Gary. Hold on one second. We'll get all your information again. Everybody was playing for the pair of tickets to see Mel Brooks' comedy musical. The producers playing at the Paramount Theater in Aurora, February 6th through March 17th. Get tickets at ParamountAurora.com. And everyone gets a $50 gift certificate to Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Check out The Edge, their state-of-the-art kitchen and bath showroom in Broadview, now also open in Orland Park. All right, there you have it. All right, so Graham Elliott, you can see him on all of the major things that Graham Elliott should be seen on, right? Because you got your Top Chef Junior, as well, right?
Yes,
and you will be joining. I think it's Kat Cora and Aisha Curry.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
That's going to be something right there. So now explain what the show is?
Yeah. So basically think of your cooking shows and competitions, but families instead of individuals. So there's 8 episodes. You'll have a family of 3 with a certain background, family 3 from a certain region of the country, and whoever cooks the best dish ends up being America's best amateur at home food family.
So you're going to get a lot of ethnic dishes, regional dishes.
And you're going to learn and family. You know, there's a husband, wife, and a brother, and mom, and 2 daughters, you know, 3 sisters. So you really see a different dynamic in the kitchen and the food they make.
So now explain to me, son. What you're saying is the people from around this country who got different cultural backgrounds, maybe from a different region, can get along? Like, is that what you're saying?
That's what we're hoping. Yeah.
This is the opposite.
I think it'll be very eye-opening.
And right after that, it's The Wall by ABC. Okay. It's very strange programming. I don't quite understand.
I can't wait to see advertising, yes. Especially in the election now with 600 people running.
You know, it's really, you know, this is a show for our times is basically what it is.
Absolutely.
I agree with you on that. All right, that's very exciting. All right.
Literally too many cooks in the kitchen here. This is the great thing
about this.
So that's I'm sure that leads to some fireworks as well.
It does.
Pyrotechnics.
You know what's cool? Real quick, what's cool with this one, though, is that when we sit down, it's all on these huge, like, picnic tables, so all the contestants get to see, taste, and hear us going over the food.
Nice.
So there's no favoritism, like, oh, you know, I think that they only liked it because of this or that. Like, they all get to see it, taste it.
Oh, it's very exciting.
I like it.
I love the idea of that.
It's a really great idea.
That fun, you know,
a lot of fun.
Someone's got to teach us how to get along, and somehow I knew Graham Elliott was going to be at the center of this.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, you can see that again, like we said, on ABC coming your way this spring. We'll check in with what's happening at the top of the hour. We're going out. Anna, right, is standing by. She's got the big WGN Radio Chicago Business Mayoral Forum that she'll be broadcasting live from. I don't think you're going to want to miss this. There are 9 contestants. Some would call them, actually, people who wish to be mayor. I just look at this as a gigantic reality show.
You got the good guy, the bad guy, the evil woman, the really sweet this person.
It's just more news or ruse.
Basically, is what it is.
It continues.
Yes. Absolutely.
But first, let's check in and let's do this. Hold on. Don't anybody move. All right. That just about does it for us right here. Anna DeVlantz is going to be joining us. I don't think you're going to want to miss this, Chicago. I don't think I'm exaggerating this. This may be the wildest mayoral forum in the history of mayoral forums. 9 contestants are vying to win this particular forum. Brought to you by WGN Radio and Crane Chicago Business. And it's going to be something. And as you see, that everybody in this race is within a couple percentage points of everybody else. Anybody can win it. And you'll hear them all make their argument, answer the questions, and Anna will, and she's been practicing this for days, she's going to be very strict. So if anybody gets out of line, look out. Stay tuned for it. But it's all coming your way after... You get the news right at the top of the hour here with Andrea Darlis, Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago smart speaker users to say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Andrea?
And thank you, Roe. Police in Dalton investigate.